Our Bible reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 to 12 and then hopefully seamlessly I'll hand over to Jill behind me who will read from 13 to 18. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's on page 1160 of the Pew Bibles. Treasures in jars of clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we pray as we can, not as we can't, and we come before you just as we are. Please accept us as we are. Open our minds to understand you, our hearts to receive more of you, and our lives to reflect more of the light of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Really is a lovely song. Clearly God is greater and stronger. He's our healer. Perhaps one of the temptations is, as you sing a song like that, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger," in order to feel that you're being a good witness to our great strong God. You have to be greater or stronger. I'll never forget someone who was very, very earnest and devout, lifelong Christian, who I was privileged to be with through a period of difficulty. And he said to me, "Mark, I just don't want to not be a good witness I want to be, and he was trying to say, I don't want to let the side down. I want to be stronger during this time. I didn't tell him this. I kind of cotton-wooled it and navigated various ways before I got to what I wanted to say. But he was effectively saying, I need to be stoical about this and stronger. Actually, what needed to happen was he just needed to let go of that and be as he was, pretty done in, pretty weak, pretty vulnerable, pretty broken, pretty human. Here's the thing, God loves human beings. And part of discovering what it means to be a real Christian is discovering what it means to be a real human being. And God can use that. I was raised with my parents to always put on your Sunday best. You can see how it's stayed with me. And I've got professional reasons for wanting to do that. And I feel quite limbered up after a morning run and the start of a new term and quite fresh and breezy after a good holiday. But if you see me at the end of the day or lumbling out of bed, unshaven, stooped and haggard in a bad mood in my pyjamas, it's very not my Sunday best. The thing is, and I will get round to speaking on this passage today, to be a witness for Christ, which is our theme for the sermon series through the autumn, being a witness for him, God can use me more in my haggard, ragged state in pajamas, feeling stiff and in a bad mood, than he can in my Sunday best, where I'm making an effort. That's just how it is. He uses our weakness rather than our strength. If any of you know the author Sebastian Faulks, you'll know he's a really good read. I happen to think one of his best books is Birdsong, and anyone who's read Birdsong will tell you that the best bit is the bit when they're underground and you can just feel the earth and the dirt. You can just sense it. I happen to be a fan of the Taken franchise, Taken 1, 2, 3. I think that Taken 1 is much better than 2 and 3. And the best bit of Taken 1 are those amazing lines, which I've never, ever got an opportunity ever to say to anyone, but I just think they're amazing. I have a special set of skills. You need to see the movie, but that's the best bit, it really is. That gravelly voice that sends fear into the Afghan rebels that have taken his daughter. I have a special set of skills. In this amazing book, 2 Corinthians, which is so full of Paul's warmth, his humanity, his weakness, and his struggles, the best chapter is 2 Corinthians 4. And we're going to look at it today to look at why it's one of the best chapters, and I would commend to you the whole of the 2 Corinthian correspondence. Christianity is not out there, it's very much in here, and you find the great Apostle Paul at his most humble and vulnerable. Page 1160, if you want to follow with me. The chapter is almost brilliantly symmetrical in its theme. Therefore, we don't lose heart. In verse 1, at the end of the chapter, verse 16, he says again, so we don't lose heart. Wait for it, the chapter is all about not losing heart. What's one of the experiences that makes us feel most human? We just feel like losing heart. It's been a bad day, it's been a bad week, it's been a bad term, it's been a bad year. I feel like losing heart. What is it that Paul says here that means we don't have to lose heart? It's there in verse 1 and verse 16. We do not lose heart. Well, the discouragements were there for Paul, and they were perhaps without. Look with me at verse 8. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed and perplexed. We're not despairing, we're persecuted but not abandoned. So in other words, times are hard for him circumstantially, without things are difficult. Within also things are tough. Look at the end of the chapter again, verse 16. Though outwardly we're wasting away, it seems to Paul that his physical body is deteriorating. He's not having a good time of it. Paul is charged with preaching the gospel, and as he does his work, all he feels is that gospel is veiled. So look at verses 3 and 4. You might care to note in passing that Paul uses this language of the gospel being veiled. It's the same language he's used in the previous chapter to talk about the veiling of the new covenant, or the unveiling of the new covenant. He uses the image in a different way. So verse 3 of chapter 4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the glory of God. I'm struggling, no one really understands me. I'm really struggling within, and the job I'm doing, actually it just appears that no one gets it. It's as if they're blind, it's as if there's a veil over their eyes. That's how Paul was feeling. Notice again in passing that he uses a striking phrase in verse 3. It's our gospel. Paul, the great apostle, would say this is God's gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection, has come from God. It doesn't belong to him. He didn't make it up. But it's so personal to him, he almost is saying, well, this gospel is all I'm there for. What a human being. He's at his wit's end. It almost seems that humanly and materially, he's just holding on to the gospel. But he doesn't lose heart. Struggles within, struggles without, and what he's trying to do is hard enough. We're all at different ages and stages and life here, but I wonder what your particular discouragements are. What is it that most makes you feel like you're a human being? You don't have the superpowers of North Korea or North America. You're not Superman or Superwoman. You're certainly not a vicar. You certainly don't look good like him in his Sunday best. You certainly wouldn't be able to keep up with him if he ran. Who is this superhuman being that seems every prayer that he prays gets answered and it all looks pretty good? Thank you very much. The songs are going well. There's a good number of people in church. I'm joking. I have a special set of skills to make me look a right idiot in public. What is it that demonstrates that you're a human being and that you're struggling? Actually, it's that God can say will allow you to be a witness for him. It's not a great line, but it's okay for now. It's not your Sunday best God will use you in, it's your pajamas. And there is an amazing phrase in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4. It's amazing because it's one of these great biblical buts. All of a sudden, a but comes along. There's a change of direction, the mood changes, the sun comes out, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now we'll get on to the next point. Why is it that Paul doesn't feel he should lose heart? Whatever the discouragement is, whatever it is that makes you a real human being, what's your but? Well, you've got this treasure in jars of clay. The jar of clay is that picture of humanity. It means that actually you look pretty ropey in your pajamas. It means that actually you're wasting away. You're not getting any younger. It actually means you don't get paid enough for what you do and all the knocks you have to take. You're a jar of clay. I won't go to say you're a cracked clay pot. But we're human. You're a jar of clay. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. This treasure is that the light of God's gospel has shone into our hearts. And that light is like a foretaste of glory. Why does Paul say to get to the answer that we should not lose heart? Look again at verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're like this. We are a human being because it's as we are like this that God can use us. And perhaps the locus of Paul's theology and thinking is there in verse 10. We always carry round in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Paul makes a lot of his body. He says in verse 16, outwardly in our body we're wasting away. Our bodies are literally falling apart. But Paul says, in my body I always carry around the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus can be revealed in me. Changing the language and the metaphor, but what does it mean to have Jesus in your heart? What does it mean to have Jesus with you? What does that actually mean? According to Paul, it means that whether he's got his pajamas on or his Sunday best on, he's carrying around the death of Jesus. Does it mean you wear a cross? That's how he died. Does it mean you go around crossing yourself? Does it mean you go around mournful and penitential, that Jesus, the ultimate victim who dies on the cross, and you adopt some kind of victim posture, that you sympathize with everyone that's downtrodden, and you're certainly downtrodden to yourself? I really am going off on a detour. No. You don't behave like that. You've got Jesus Christ, the crucified one, with you. The light of God's gospel has shone into your hearts. The death of Jesus is with you. And here's the thing. On Good Friday, Jesus died. On Easter Sunday, he rose again. Your part in that? Zero. Didn't contribute to it one bit. God's power raised him to life forevermore. Therefore, if you carry around with you, this is what Paul found, the death of Jesus, then the life of Jesus will be revealed through you. It's almost as if the death and resurrection of Jesus happens within you. No wonder he says in verse 16, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. I always feel somewhat shortchanged when he says, say, perhaps in verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The previous verse, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Am I saying you wait to heaven to find out why you shouldn't lose heart? Perhaps there's an element of it there, yes. And I always feel I'm shortchanging a congregation when I say that. Well, wait till heaven and it will all get sorted out. Of course, there is an element in which that is bound to be the case. But even Paul doesn't say this fully here. He says the life of Jesus will be revealed in your body through your humanity, and other people will see the light of God's glory through it, here and now. And part of the plot of 2 Corinthians is that Paul was speaking against people who felt they had to be superhuman in order to be spiritual. And Paul says, no, to be spiritual, to allow the glory of God to be seen in you, that one day everyone will see in heaven, you simply have to be human. You simply have to let it be that the light of Christ shines, that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ does its work within you. Friends, is this happening as I conclude? Notice again verse 1 of this very famous chapter. Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We don't deserve to have the gospel. It's through God's mercy. We don't deserve to allow that gospel light to shine out to others. We have a ministry that only our humanity can bring to the needy world. And here's the rub. It happens through our fading and earthly humanity day by day. Let's pause, bow our heads, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Lord, thank you indeed that you use us as we are. Help us to live lives that are fully human and fully open to the light of the gospel of Christ. May we each one carry around with us the death of Jesus, that his risen life might be revealed in us and be a witness to others around, for his dear name's sake. Amen.